his mom, our auntie, I guess, made us dinner, and it was really nice. And she really loved it, even though we couldn't speak to each other.
Connecting with long-lost relatives in Russia. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Monday, August 4th. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, voting season kicks off today.
Early voting and absentee voting is designed for those voters who know they will not be able to make it to their polling place on election day.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by ExxonMobil, employing over 1,000 Alaskans at their Point Thompson project. Employees who are knitting hats for kids in Koktovik in their spare time. Learn more at koktovikknits.com. Check the status of your permanent fund dividend application at pfd.alaska.gov. August 31st is the deadline for contributing to a college savings plan and to add or change charitable contributions. This message sponsored by the state of Alaska.
An Alaska Native family recently traveled to Russia's Far East to take part in a gathering of indigenous people from seven nations throughout the circumpolar north. The three participated in Native games, music, and the celebration of traditional culture in a tiny coastal village along the Bering Sea. KUAC's Emily Schwing has more.
On a recent summer Saturday, Alaska Native Elder Cooper Pascoyan joined a wild, cheering crowd to watch teams of men and women row giant handmade walrus skin boats across the flat water of a protected bay off the Bering Sea coast. He says he once got to ride in a boat just like one of these when he was a kid growing up in Nome.
A guy named Dominic would bring the tourists down to Snake River and take them boat rides and a skin boat all the time, and that was pretty neat to see. A lot of tourists come down and hop in a skin boat, go skin boat driving, square skin boat ride.
Pascoyo was in the tiny village of Novochaplina in Russia's Chukotka region to see his children, 22-year-old Megan and 19-year-old Andy, compete in the skin boat races as well as other events in the inaugural Beringia Arctic Games. He says skin boat races haven't happened near Nome since his grandfather's time.
Watching these two, Megan and Andy, skin boat race, it was like a great feeling to see them do something what my grandpa did. It was awesome. I was so happy.
This was the second time Megan and Andy have visited Chukotka. In 2011, they went to a small town called Lavrentia, more than 100 miles north of Novochaplina. That's where they met their Russian relatives.
When we went there, it was 2 days after we came to Lavrentia. Megan was going upstairs and they stopped her and they had a translator and said, we're like, we're relatives and all that. And we have a cousin, he's probably 20 years old.
We went over to his place, had dinner a couple times, and his mom, our auntie, I guess, made us dinner and had us just lounge around the house, and it was really nice. And she really loved it, even though we couldn't speak to each other.
Very little English is spoken in Chukotka, but that doesn't seem to faze either of the Pascoya kids. Andy says this year he reconnected with some of the friends he first made 3 years ago.
I recognized our old captain in our rowboat. And I was standing there, and I looked towards him. He looked towards me, and he got a big smile on his face and walked over and shook my hand and hung out with him, drank some tea.
Andy had a successful run in a wrestling match during this year's games. He came to within 2 points of beating a well-known Russian musher from the region. His sister Megan was also successful in competition. She finished second overall in the one-arm reach, a game of agility and precision.
I actually haven't done that event for since high school. I was really surprised I was still able to do it, too.
I was so happy to watch her compete, and Andy and his wrestling. I was overjoyed.
Cooper Pascoya wasn't able to take part in the games for health reasons, but he says he used to play them all the time.
I did it a long time ago in high school. I did the seal hop, kneel jump, high kick, one-foot high kick, I believe, stick pull.
It's not often that families like the Pascoyas are able to travel to places as remote as Chukotka. A visa can cost up to roughly $400. Visitors, even Russian citizens, need a formal invitation from the government. And that's on top of the cost to charter a flight from Nome to Anadyr. Cooper Pascoia almost didn't make the trip this summer, but daughter Megan says she was relentless.
I asked him so many times, how come you don't want to go? How come you don't want to go? He was actually in the kitchen and I was in the living room and I texted him and I was like, do you want to go to Russia? And this is like, I texted him this after I had asked him in person because he said, no, I don't need to go. What's in Russia? And I guess he finally found out what's in Russia.
This year's Beringia Arctic Games were so popular among the visitors and locals who took part that they're likely to happen again next year. Organizers have announced that Chukotka's governor has agreed to allow the games to take place in the village of Lorino in 2015. Reporting in Chukotka, I'm Emily Schwing.
The August 19th primary is 15 days away, but voting opens today for early absentee special needs and electronic transmission voting. State Elections Director Gail Fanumiai says the state has set up polling places across Alaska for registered voters.
They can go to a variety of locations throughout the state and in front of an absentee voting official and cast an absentee ballot.
People have until Saturday to apply for a by-mail ballot and until August 18th to apply for an electronic ballot.
Voting will continue through Election Day and then polls will be open on August 19th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all voters to go vote in person at their polling place on Election Day. Early voting and absentee voting is designed for those voters who know they will not be able to make it to their polling place on Election Day.
In the primary election, voters will decide whether to accept or reject an oil and gas production tax bill, S. Senate Bill 21. The legislature adopted it in 2013, and they'll pick primary candidates for U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, governor and lieutenant governor, and the state legislature that will move forward into the general election. The three Republicans vying to run against U.S. Senator Mark Begich met today in an Eagle River church to debate social issues in a forum sponsored by the Alaska Family Council. All three took anti-abortion conservative positions, but as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, this was Joe Miller's crowd.
Miller doesn't believe in exceptions to an abortion ban, even when a woman becomes pregnant as a result of rape or incest. The audience at Community Covenant Church was with him.
This is the barometer of we the people. Are we going to protect the most defenseless, or are we going to give platitudes? Thank you.
Need Treadwell says the issue is personal with him.
My mom got pregnant in college. Abortion was available then, but I stand in front of you today because mom and dad chose life, and I thank God every day that she did.
Treadwell says abortion should only be allowed if both the mother and baby would otherwise die. Dan Sullivan says he would allow a rape and incest exception.
That does not mean that I'm supportive of abortions in those situations, but because they're such horrendous situations, and support for the victim in those kind of situations of rape and incest is also very important. From my perspective, that's something that the family should be making the decision on.
Miller had the other two on the defensive for blocking an anti-abortion initiative in state government. Lieutenant Governor Treadwell and Sullivan, a former state attorney general, say the measure they ruled against conflicted with existing law, and they felt a duty to uphold the law. Treadwell challenged Miller to draft a better initiative than the one he had to turn down.
If it passes muster, that initiative could move forward. But Joe, you just can't criticize people for following the law. We followed the law.
Miller had a ready response.
You know, we've heard that argument before. I was just following orders.
The candidates all say they're against amnesty for illegal immigrants and against legislation that would roll back the Supreme Court's decision in the Hobby Lobby case. Miller is running far behind the other two in the polls and in campaign contributions. In his closing statement, though, he suggested those present give to the family of Rick Shields, a Palmer conservative activist who died a few days ago. Miller, who says he's the only non-millionaire in the race, managed to turn the plea into a subtle dig at his rivals.
Instead of donating to these campaigns, of course, Dan doesn't need your money. And and Meade's spending his own. And you know that my campaign functions on sweat equity. But please, don't give to our campaigns today. If you came here with a checkbook to write out to one of these candidates, give it to the Shields. Give it to the Shields.
During Treadwell's closing statement, Miller supporters passed out a 2-year-old press release from the ACLU highlighting that Treadwell allowed transgender Alaskans to change the gender category on their driver's licenses. In Eagle River, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, fishing with veterans.
We try to do a trip with the Wounded Warriors program each year and take some wounded soldiers out to float down one of the rivers to get a chance to go fishing.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by Spinard Builder Supply. For more than 60 years, SBS has helped Alaskans build from ground to roof to everything in between. Spinard Builder Supply is here to build with you. And by Doyon Limited, Interior Alaska's regional native corporation, providing oil field services, government contracting, and natural resource development in Alaska and across the nation. Information at doyon.com.
The group Big Marijuana Big Mistake is taking issue with pro-marijuana initiative bus ads, and they're asking the municipality of Anchorage to intervene. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
Last week, the first pro-marijuana ads of the campaign season started rolling around on city buses. They show a pint glass of beer, a tumbler of hard liquor, and then a cannabis leaf with the word safer written on top. Then on Wednesday, a bright red sticker was added, reading, "Our opponents agree." Those stickers were inspired by this comment Big Marijuana, Big Mistake spokesperson Tom Tugas made at a recent debate in Soldotna.
When we think of this initiative, and you say, you know, marijuana is not as bad as alcohol, and I don't disagree with that.
That snippet of audio was released by the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, a group that's sponsoring a ballot initiative to do exactly that. They saw it as a major concession to one of their key arguments and thought it would fit well into their bus campaign. Big Marijuana, Big Mistake does not agree. The marijuana opponents sent a letter to the People Mover Administration on Friday afternoon asking that the red stickers be removed, calling them a gross misrepresentation of the anti-marijuana position. Deborah Williams, the deputy treasurer of Big Marijuana, Big Mistake, says that Tugas's comments were taken out of context and that he's subsequently refuted them. She adds that to suggest her group believes marijuana is safer than alcohol
is simply untrue. They did not check with the coordinating committee of Big Marijuana, Big Mistake. If they had, they would know that the opposition does not agree with that, period. End of story. The signs need to come down because they represent a clear misstatement of fact.
Big Marijuana, Big Mistake did not approach their rivals about removing their stickers first. But even if they had, the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol thinks it's on solid ground. Taylor Bickford is a spokesperson for the initiative, and he says it's inappropriate for Big Marijuana, Big Mistake to engage in an effort to censor their campaign.
We wouldn't be in this position if they hadn't made the statements they had made in a public setting. And that's ultimately what all of this is based on. They actually accused us of lying and fabricating the statement. And that's why we decided to release the audio, so that the public understands that this is a statement that was made by one of their spokespeople. It was not a lie. It was not fabricated. It happened.
Bickford says that the pro-marijuana campaign added the stickers as a way of forcing Big Marijuana, Big Mistake to clarify their position on the relative safety of the drug. The People Mover Administration does not plan on removing the stickers or mediating between the two campaigns. In Anchorage, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
The Alaska State Troopers are looking for a missing fisherman in the Willow Creek area. According to troopers, 71-year-old Jerry Warner of Missouri walked upstream from the Willow Creek Resort at about 11 a.m. yesterday for a solo fishing trip. He planned to be away for a few hours. When he did not return by 7:30 p.m., the troopers were contacted and a search began. Last night, teams on foot as well as a Mat-Su Borough boat searched the creek until midnight, but found no sign of Mr. Warner. This morning, the search resumed with the addition of an Alaska State Trooper helicopter. According to a Mat-Su Borough press release, more than 40 people are searching for Warner. The headquarters of the Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race in both Alaska and Canada were buzzing on Saturday with talk of snow and mushing. Two-time champion Alan Moore plans to return to the race next year.
We're going to do the same that we've done every year. It works out pretty good, and hopefully we'll have a pretty good chance at the end. And there's lots of people that will have a good chance, as good as mine, to win, but everything has to line up, as you know.
But Moore can't run the exact same race he has for the last 4 years. This year, mushers and dogs will see a mandatory 36-hour layover at the race's midway point in Dawson City, reduced by 12 hours. 2 hours have been added to another mandatory stop at the checkpoint in Eagle, and teams will take two additional 6-hour layovers at a checkpoint of their choosing in the first and last third of the race. Moore says the new rules shake up his tried-and-true race strategy.
The only thing I can think of at this moment, I'll probably have to add rest other places, probably, because we did set a record pace, you know, a couple years ago when we were coming this direction.
But in 2013, race officials diverted the trail around American Summit near Eagle. Even so, Moore says a fast pace requires rest somewhere, regardless of whether it's mandatory or not. So far, 21 mushers have added their names to the roster. KUAC's Emily Schwing was at Quest headquarters in Fairbanks over the weekend to find out who else plans to drive a team in the 1,000-mile race.
I'm Mike Ellis, and I'm here with my lead dog, Eliza, to sign up for another Quest. This will be her 9,000-mile race start this year, and I'm sure she'll be on the team.
My name's Ryan Olson, and I signed up for the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest today. I've done the 300 from both the White Horse and the Fairbanks side, so now I'm going to learn what that 400 miles in the middle is like.
Okay, I'm Kristen Pace, and I'm running the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race.
My name's Brent Sass, and I'm here to sign up for the 2015 Yukon Quest.
And what number is this for you, Brent?
This is number 9.
I talked to a lot of other experienced mushers, and they said the Yukon Quest is an excellent 1,000-mile race for rookies. It's a lot more forgiving in terms of actually having people you know handling for you and taking your dogs. And also just the hospitality is apparently unmatched anywhere in the universe. So one of my favorite things is showing up in the middle of nowhere late at night and having the light on in a cabin for you with a home-cooked meal and people who are really happy to see you.
Number nine. Lucky number nine?
Yeah, 9. I mean, I'm going to win the race. There's no doubt about it. I have a really, really, really good dog team. It's the same dog team from last year, and I'm adding 8 2-year-olds, 2.5-year-olds to the mix this year to train with. So I'm hoping that a few of those guys beat out a couple of the veterans, you know, the guys that are getting a little older. So we'll see.
Tell me more. Liza, can you tell me anything else? Any more? No, that's it? Can't believe it.
Mushers have until early January to add their names to the mix. Mushers' applications will be reviewed by the Rules Committee before the race begins. The 31st Yukon Quest starts Saturday, February 7th in Whitehorse, Yukon. Wrangell's new boat lift is the second biggest in Alaska and is expected to boost the former logging town's growing marine industry. Last week, the 300-ton lift tested its upper limit. KSDK's Katerina Sostark has the story.
That's the popping sound of cables being pulled tight as they lift a 300-ton tugboat out of the water.
I guess it was heavier than I thought.
Harold Medallin is the skipper of the Marauder, a tug based in Juneau. He says it was scheduled to be lifted over a week ago, but there were two problems. First, the boat lift's scale needed to be recalibrated so it could measure the tug's weight. A technician from ASCOM, the manufacturer, flew in from Italy to fix it. And Medallin says the boat was just too heavy, so they took a few days to make it lighter.
We took about 10 tons of fuel off and about probably 4 tons of tires and 4 tons of tow wire, but it's worth it to be able to haul out here.
Medallin says he usually goes to Port Townsend or Bellingham to get hauled out.
It's wonderful to have someplace that's within like a day's run of Juneau where we can get hauled out and do our maintenance.
The Marauder will be at the Wrangell Marine Service Center for a few days. It just needs bottom paint and some routine work. Harbor Master Greg Meisner says Wrangell's smaller 150-ton lift has brought business to town, but those boat owners often do the work themselves. He expects the bigger 300-ton lift to create new boatyard jobs.
You start pulling the 100-foot class boats in here, the great big fish packers or the big yacht, them type of boats, they're not do-it-yourselfers for the most part. They're hiring somebody.
He says the $1.3 million lift will also help Wrangell retain jobs.
If you look back, you know, 10 years ago and wondering what the marine industry was doing, many folks were hanging on by a shoestring, you know, trying to keep afloat. And all of a sudden you bring more boats to town, all of a sudden those folks that are barely making it are keeping busy.
Meisner says business has been a bit slow for the new boat lift. It hauled 8 boats in 2 months. But he says that's because it arrived in late spring when all the big commercial boats head to the fishing grounds.
There's quite a few boats out there that have been waiting for somewhere to get hauled. So I think this fall you'll start to see more and more business migrate this way. And we'll be out of space.
The new boat lift will only be limited by space for storage and work. The boatyard is on 5 acres between downtown Wrangell and the waterfront, with little room to expand.
For us to build every year, we're going to start looking at where to put some boats. Hey, it's a good problem to have, but got to get creative.
Some boats are being stored in a lot across the street from the boatyard. Proposed solutions for significant expansion are several years and millions of dollars away. For now, the Marine Service Center will welcome boats to its new lift and aim to build a bigger client base. Madalyn says although the Marauder is only in Wrangell for routine maintenance, he could come here for major repair work too.
It's difficult because of the our line of work to schedule a dry dock appointment and keep it. We don't know exactly when we're going to get down there, so here, midsummer, there's usually a lull and it's a good time to work on boats so we can come right to Wrangell now.
Madalyn estimates having a boat lift close by saved $20,000 in fuel alone. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Katerina Sestarek.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by BP Alaska, committed to the state of Alaska through investment, production, and jobs for future generations of Alaskans. More at alaska.bp.com. If you've served in the military, the Alaska VA welcomes you home and thanks you for your service. We encourage you to enroll for VA healthcare benefits. Go to 1010ez.med.va.gov to apply online in less than 5 minutes, or print, fax, or mail the 2-page form to the VA. You do not need your DD-214 to apply. Call 257-3323 for questions. This message is sponsored by the VA.
Haida Carving Brothers Joe and TJ Young are back in Juneau to finish a pair of Eagle and Raven totem poles. About this time last year, the Heidelberg men and their apprentices were using axes and chainsaws to shape the red cedar logs. On Friday, they were working with small hand tools. Here's TJ Young.
As you work your way, as you start roughing it out, you'll start getting, the tools will get smaller and smaller and smaller, and you'll do a lot more sharpening throughout the process.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute commissioned the new poles to replace the deteriorating 36-year-old ones in front of the Gehostet building off Willoughby Avenue.
Yeah, I think we're on schedule here, but we're still throwing in 12-hour days and whatnot.
The new totem poles are supposed to be raised at the end of the month. Papa Bear Adventures in the Kuskokwim Hub community of Bethel recently took 6 veterans on a rafting trip. The guiding company brought them down the Kennecock River near Quinnahock, a village about 70 miles southwest of Bethel, as part of the Wounded Warriors program. As Charles Enoch with KYUK reports, the group found relief from injuries on one of the premier fishing rivers in the world.
Steve Powers runs Papa Bear Adventures. He says this trip is his company's way of supporting servicemen and women.
We try to do a trip with the Wounded Warriors program each year and take some wounded soldiers out to float down one of the rivers to get a chance to go fishing and enjoy Alaska. And my brother originally thought about it, and then we talked about it, and we just felt like it's the right thing to do.
The Wounded Warrior Project is a national program with the sole purpose of honoring and empowering veterans of the United States Armed Forces who are hurt or injured in battle, Papa Bear Guiding Company has been taking wounded warriors on trips for 5 years. One of those being honored is Alaskan Mike Bozinski. He served in the Air Force as a crew member on board a Boeing E-3. During his service, he was stationed in Iraq. He was disabled after being diagnosed with tinnitus, a condition that causes constant ringing in the ears. Bozinski says though this is an annoying condition, he is more fortunate than others.
My disability is very minor compared to some of the other guys that were in the Army and the Marines that went to Afghanistan and had injuries from shrapnel and different disabilities created by the conditions on the ground.
Bozinski lives in Anchorage but had never been to the Bethel area. He and a few other veterans anxiously wait at Papa Bear's lodge on Weatherhold because of fog. He's eager to fish at Bagati Lake at the headwaters of the Qanichtuq.
I've never been out there. A couple of us have made it out there already. The rest of us are sitting here waiting for the fog to break so we can get out there and join them.
Eventually, the fog lifts. Bozinski and five other veterans enjoy some lake fishing and then a 7-day float trip down the Qanichtuq. When they return to Bethel, they're treated with a welcome back gathering and a dinner at the local Veterans of Foreign Wars building. There they exchange many humorous stories, such as some members falling off the raft. But perhaps the most interesting story of the trip involved a once-in-a-lifetime delivery, as recounted by veterans Patrick Upchurch and Thomas O'Brien.
Carl from Papa Bear Lodge and Last Guard came out and visited us on, I think, day three. Brought us some pizza from here in Bethel. Awesome pizza. So that was a pretty welcome surprise.
Floating down the river, and an Army Black Hawk comes soaring by.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking around all confused, and then it lands, and there's Carl waiting for us to float right up to him.
Papa Bear Adventures' Steve Powers hopes to continue giving warriors a chance to experience some of the best of what Alaska has to offer. In Bethel, I'm Charles Enoch.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Emily Schwing in Fairbanks, Jacqueline Estes in Anchorage, Philip Manning in Talkeetna, Katarina Sostarek in Wrangell, Jeremy Shea in Juneau, and Charles Enoch in Bethel. APRN's Alexander Gutierrez and Liz Ruskin reported from Anchorage. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Josh Edge is our web producer, and I'm Lori Townsend. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by Crowley, celebrating 60 years in Alaska. Crowley knows Alaska and uses that experience to deliver project solutions from concept to completion. More at CrowleyAlaska.com. And by Nana Regional Corporation and Tech Alaska, celebrating 25 years of resource development and partnership at the Red Dog Mine. Where can you see more than 1,000 entertainers, from Alaska Native dancers to dinosaurs? The Alaska State Fair. This year, everyone attending the fair can enjoy music free with fair admission, like Riders in the Sky, Young Dubliners, Redhead Express, Savannah Jack, Home Free, and Kentucky Lineman. Learn more at thealaskastatefair.org. Music, fair food, and good time fun. It's what the Alaska State Fair is all about. This message sponsored by the Alaska State Fair. The Medallion Foundation and Federal Aviation Administration set standards for the operation of aircraft and airports. More information at faa.gov/go/flyalaska. This message is sponsored by the Medallion Foundation.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.